Call Senate Resources to order. It's Monday, February 28th. Time is approximately 3:32. Senators present at the time, Senator French, Senator Stevens, Senator Pasquin, myself, Senator Wagoner, and Senator McGuire. We also have with us Senator Geisel in the audience. Everybody, please remember to turn off your cell phones. Thanks, Doug. today's, we're going to continue to work on Senate Bill 85. We're also going to take up HJR 11. And first, we're going to go to HJR 11. So would the sponsor please come up and present the resolution?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jeff Turner. I'm staff for Representative Millett. House Joint Resolution simply states the Alaska Legislature's opposition to any wilderness designation on the 1002 area of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It's quite similar to the resolution that was sponsored by Representative Millett and passed by the legislature 2 years ago, except for one key difference. Right now, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is coming out with a draft comprehensive conservation plan for ANWR, and it is expected to contain possibly a wilderness recommendation for the 1002 area. And we should also point out that there's at least two pieces of legislation right now in Congress to lock up the 1002 area. I guess we should go back and do a little history lesson on this. In 1980, Congress passed the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. In it, Congress specifically excluded the 1002 area of ANWR as the result of a compromise in negotiations to create ANWR in the first place. And what that did was give only Congress the power to allow a wilderness designation on the 1002 area or to allow oil and gas development in the refuge. Right now, the U.S. Geological Service estimates that there is 10.4 billion barrels of oil in ANWR that would certainly help to address the decline in TAPS production that we're dealing with right now. And there's quite a bit of natural gas in the area, which could also be used for filling a future gas pipeline. And it's important to point out that any development in ANWR could take place on a footprint as small as 2,000 acres out of the 1.5 million acres in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. I would also like to bring to your attention some new caribou population numbers. The porcupine caribou herd, the state estimates that the herd is now up to about 169,000 animals. That's an increase of about 30% from the last study that was done a few years ago. And the Central Arctic caribou herd is also doing well, so I think we have ample evidence that oil and gas exploration and production can take place on the North Slope without harming the wildlife resources we have up there.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the sponsor, staff? Like the record to reflect that we've been joined by Senator Wilikowski. Senator Pasquin.
What is your understanding of the compromise that was reached as far as the passage of ANILCA, and in particular the compromise with respect to reserving the right to enter into laws to develop oil and gas resources in Section 1002?
Well, it's my understanding that Congress at the time understood very well that the 1002 area could hold significant oil and gas resources, and it was important to leave those available for future development and to fuel the nation's energy needs. So as a result of the compromise, they decided to set aside that one small piece of land, and in the law it specifically states that only Congress has the power to allow oil and gas exploration in that small area or place a wilderness designation on it.
Mm-hmm. So that last part, when you say or place a wilderness designation on it, and in other words, at the time the wilderness designation was imposed only on areas outside 1002.
That's my understanding.
Additional questions? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2 of the resolution, there's a paragraph, the second paragraph, the second whereas, beginning on line 6. Maybe you could tell me what that paragraph does for the resolution.
Well, it states the belief that the U.S. Congress has the power to designate new conservation units within federal lands.
And why is it necessary to the resolution?
Well, just to state that is the sponsor's understanding of the law. That's the law of the land, and that power is held by Congress.
Okay, thank you. No further questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions? Thank you very much for the presentation of the resolution. I'd like to open public hearings at this time on resolution HJR 11. Is there anybody here who would like to testify? I don't believe there's anybody online that testifies. I thought that person was for Senate Bill 85. Okay. I see nobody here to testify, and there's nobody online to testify. Therefore, I'm going to close public testimony. What's the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chair, would you...
Senator Passavant.
I move that we pass from this committee House Joint Resolution number 11 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objections, the resolution will move. We'll take a brief at ease. Next before us is Senate Bill 85, that's the tax credit for new oil and gas development. Today was going to be question and answers for DOR, invited testimony, and public testimony. We're going to have invited testimony on Wednesday, and right now I'm going to open public testimony on Senate Bill 85. And online for public testimony, we have Mike Milligan from Kodiak. Can you hear me, Mr. Milligan?
Yes, I can, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me also?
You bet. Go ahead. Due to the lack of numbers, we'll give you 5 minutes.
I doubt I'll go that long, Mr. Chairman, but thank you.
Wait a minute. I know Mike Milligan. He can easily go that long.
That was your senator, Mr. Milligan.
Yeah, I recognize the voice. Mr. Chairman, I've been a Alaska resident since 74. I've raised a bunch of kids here and worked on the pipeline and held elected office with the senator who just made a off. And my concern with this tax credit is that the one issue that unites all Alaskans universally, regardless of their political persuasion, is we all want to build a gas line. And due to a movie I saw last month and articles in the New York Times last week, I'm greatly concerned about this hydraulic fracturing, as we all know, fracking, that's occurring in New York, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Powder River area of Wyoming, that's really spoiling the well, literally, for us to build a gas line. They're bringing gas supplies online that make ours less economically viable, and they're also convincing the public that natural gas is not a clean energy source. They're dumping road salts in Pennsylvania that have radioactivity in them. And I'm just concerned that these tax credits won't be a savings that will allow other oil and gas producers to take those profits and go to Lower 48 and develop this fracking. So I would like to see some provision in here, maybe in Section 1, that would recognize those oil developers that are not involved in fracking. And that's basically my point, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. are there any question of Mr. Milligan? I have one. You said that in Pennsylvania they're doing they're using what, the road salts?
Yeah. See, when they drill, they drill down deep enough, they'll pull up radioactive waste with the road salts, and they've got a permit to use some of that salty water to melt ice, and some of that water has known radioactive substances in it that will re-enter the groundwater.
I see. No other questions, Mr. Milligan. Thank you for coming in and testifying.
Thank you for your work, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, well, I'm going to close public testimony at this time. Is there anybody from DOR? Excuse me, I said DNR. Is there anybody from DOR who wants to come to the table and answer questions of the committee members at this time? Oh, there's a brave soul. Now there was a let's see, there were a couple of questions asked. Did all the committee get the response back from DNR on the questions asked last meeting from Sarah Lonigan? Longan? Look like this, yeah. Senator French has got the chart there. There was a cover letter on it. Email. Should have been with that chart.
I have this one.
Oh, you have it.
I have this one. I just on the letter.
Do you have it?
Let me go make copies.
Take a short eddies, Mr. Chairman.
Let's take a short eddies. Order. Okay, please introduce yourself. And before you do, there's John Larson, Lenny Dees, Donna Keppers, and Sherry
Nienhouse
are online from the Department of Revenue also to ask or to answer questions. So go ahead.
Chairman Wagner, members of the committee. My name is Bruce Tangeman. I'm Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Revenue. I've been asked to come forward and be available basically for any questions that might be presented. In general, the department feels that any bill that will help increase production, create jobs, or attract investment is certainly worth looking at. We've done some research into the bill where there are some technical issues that should need to be addressed through amendments, perhaps verbiage, et cetera. But in general, we feel that this bill is something we can work with.
Okay. Are there any questions? Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you. Do we have a fiscal note on this bill?
Or it's indeterminate, and I was going to be asking.
Okay. Could I get a response on what any projections on what the fiscal note might be, say, over the next 5 years?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski. As Senator Pascan mentioned, it is an indeterminate fiscal note. It would depend on the type of investment, the amount of investment, size of field, et cetera. We cannot precisely identify those things at this point. So that's why it's indeterminate from our point of view.
Senator Wilkowski. Can you talk about some fields that you think might be incentivized by this and how much can you give us an estimate of what the fiscal note might be?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, We cannot at this point. This bill looks at fields that are not unitized at this point, which is what we forecast in our production forecast. I believe that would probably be more appropriate for a producer to address.
Do you have any sense of fields that are not yet unitized? Is that you or is that a DNR question? Leases that have been purchased, for instance, Great Bear just purchased 500,000 acres. I'm assuming that hasn't been unitized yet. Any estimates of what this would cost if it were developed the way Great Bear presented to us just last week?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, I believe you're probably correct. It would be a DNR question, especially based on the response to some of the other questions from the last meeting where they did have some estimates on production or development costs.
It's a revenue question, but you're saying DNR needs to answer that. Is DNR going to be able to figure out how much revenue will be generated by that field and how quickly it will take to produce it and how much it would cost to, in terms of the expenditures that could be recouped under this? I mean, it seems like there would have to be some collaboration between you and DNR on that, or is it you're saying it's just strictly DNR?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, there would be certainly coordination between the two departments, but we're not in a position to project or forecast for development of fields that are not unitized at this point. We address unitized fields in the production forecast.
Do you support the bill?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, in its current form, we believe it does need some work. Our biggest concern is that I believe the intent of the sponsor was an explorer producer would either use this vehicle as a tax credit vehicle or the existing structure that's set up right now under tax credits. It's an either or. Our biggest concern is that there might be, it may not be exactly clear that that is the way forward, either one path or the other. So that's our biggest concern right now. We believe it's certainly correctable, and we could correct it to get that intent, but at this point it's not there. So we support a bill that would increase production, get more oil into the pipeline, but we believe this would probably need a little work.
And just you would support a bill without knowing you're the Department of Revenue, you're responsible for managing the revenues of the state. You would support a bill that you have no idea how much it's going to cost the state? Is that what you're telling us?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, no, not at all. We would support a bill that would increase production, and along to get to that production, certain capital costs would need to be incurred. We have a tax credit structure currently in place. This would be a different type of tax credit structure that would certainly need regulations put in place, et cetera. But it wouldn't be a matter of us supporting a bill without knowing the revenue impacts. It would just need a little more work, I believe.
And I would just ask if you could coordinate with DNR and just maybe get some sort of projections together on what sort of impact we're looking at here based on the developments that from today with Repsol and with Great Bear and some of the other groups that are coming into Alaska. Just I think for us to pass this bill, at least from my perspective, I just want to know some sort of an idea where we're looking at in terms of revenue.
Absolutely, Senator Wilkowski. We'll work with them.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe we can use Nakayachuk and Ugaruk as examples and use those numbers to kind of walk us through how the bill would work. What's the projected production of Nakayachuk over the next couple of years?
Through the chair, Senator French, I do not know that off the top of my head, but we can certainly.
That is in your revenue source book.
Right? Yes, it is, absolutely. I just do not know that.
Same for Ugarit.
Yes.
Right. And it says here Ugarit costs $550 million to develop, and under this bill, they'd be getting a dollar for dollar credit for those $550 million.
Through the chair, Senator French, I believe it depends on the tax liability through the first 5 years of production.
Those you know, I think using those two examples would be helpful, at least for me and maybe other members of the committee, to see, you know, what the effect on the Treasury is of pushing that much money back across the table to these two recently developed fields.
I think following up on that line of questioning, you know, under the definition of qualified development expenditure that's at the bottom of page 3, top of page 4, it seems to be an expenditure other than for exploring for new oil or gas. So, for example, in Great Bear or the Nekaichuk or Ugarit, if, for example, Great Bear had a $2 billion annual drilling expenditure, would that be a qualified development expenditure?
Through the chair, Senator Pasban, I believe it's based on when the pool of oil is certified and then the expenses that are incurred up to production. So it would depend on the acreage that pool covered and the amount of expenses that went into that acreage to get that production. So,
if I may, Mr. Chair, assuming that it's been explored and discovered and we now have a definition of a pool, it wasn't in a unit, and they're spending $2 billion a year in a well drilling program, is it or is it not a qualified development expenditure?
Through the chair, Senator Pasban, I believe it would be a qualified expenditure. Depending on when the pool was, when it was certified as a producing pool or a pool that could be commercially productive. Mm-hmm. So it would be the expenses after that point up through first production. So I don't see it, once you start producing, I don't believe it's $2 billion year after year after year. I believe it's just to get to production. So it's a matter of the clock starting and the clock stopping. The current tax credit structure that's put in place is ongoing year to year, and it's more of a cash flow issue. This bill is the clock starts, and then once you start producing, the clock stops, and the expenditures in between those times are covered at 100%. Against the first 5 years of production, the tax liability through the first 5 years of production.
So I mean, it's expenditures during production that are offset against production?
No,
Or is it expenditures solely for exploration until the pool is identified?
It's through the chair, Senator Passman. It's expenditures incurred once they've discovered the pool but have not yet started producing. So it's the expenditures that get the company to the producing stage. And that's what would be covered against the tax liability in the first 5 years of production.
So if for example, they're in a $2 billion annual drilling budget, that would not be a qualified development expenditure.
Through the chair, Senator Pasman, I may not be understanding exactly. If they're incurring $2 billion a year, once they've discovered the pool, and they're incurring $2 billion a year, but have not yet produced yet,
they would be in production.
If they haven't produced yet, they would be covered. under this bill. But if they have started producing, the clock stops when they start producing. And only the expenditures in between those times are the expenditures that would be covered under this bill.
Might relate it to it's a kickstart, just exactly what it does.
Again, if I'm...
Senator Pascavant.
Yes, what I'm, I guess, struggling with is trying to put it into the context of there's a choice that any company would need to make between the current credit bill and this credit bill. How can we analyze what the cost to the state will be under this tax bill as compared to the current existing tax structure?
Through the chair, Senator Pasvan, I'm going to have to talk to our folks in our department and get you a good answer on that. So we can compare how the fiscal note was put together for SB 49 and compare potential impacts to this bill. I'm not prepared to do that right now, but we can certainly do that.
And what may help, maybe it would be better just to graph out a string of from exploration through defining a pool and then into production. And if we graph that out, then you can see which part of that section on along that continuum that this bill would cover.
Well, I agree. I think that we need to understand a best case, worst case scenario of what is or is not going to be the cost to the state of Alaska under existing law and this potential law so that we have the understanding both of what the incentive is and then what the cost to the state is.
Through the chair, Senator Pasvan, I agree the difficulty in comparing the two will be the governor's bill. The fiscal note shows the reduction through the first 5 years against production tax that we are projecting in our production forecast. This is looking at the impacts of the tax credits and what that would do to the tax credit pool, basically. So they're slightly different scenarios. The fiscal note for SB 49 is looking at the impact to production tax and the decrease that we're projecting through the first few years. This is looking solely at the tax credits.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you. Do you have any idea how much additional exploration or development this will incentivize?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, I do not.
If we lowered the reimbursement or the credit from 100% to 90%, or 80% or 50%, do you would you support that? Do you think that would spur development just as well?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, we would support, I believe, anything that would increase production to get more oil into the pipeline, whether it's 100% or 90%. I'm not here to make that call right now, but we would certainly be willing to work with anybody in, who has an idea to spur production, and certainly.
Not to argue with you, but how much more oil or gas, how much more oil is this? You don't have any idea how much more oil this, if any oil this will put into the pipeline. Do you have any sense, any projections, any figures about how much more oil this will add to the pipeline, this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, not for this particular bill. We have some projections and ideas that we'll be presenting with the SB 49 bill, but we were not prepared to go down that road with this particular bill.
Let me answer that question. If this bill doesn't relate in any production, it doesn't put a dime into the state treasury, nor does it cost the state treasury a dime. The only time it costs the state treasury anything is when they go into production, and at that time is all it costs is the 5 years on the production tax. State still gets its royalty, gets its corporate tax, gets the property tax. So that's the thing that's in play. And we will hear next meeting from Great Bear, Armstrong Oil and Gas, a couple or three other people that are looking at trying to produce some of these harder plays up there that do feel they need an incentive to bring along some additional investors. So.
If I could just follow up on that. In other words, I understand that your overarching principle is to increase production, and I think that the analysis needs to include some understanding of, for example, in a 10-year period, what the cost of the state would be, even if for the first 5 years it may consume the entire production tax that would be applied. You know, one needs to look forward, for example, 10 years out and have an understanding of what we've given up as compared to what we potentially receive, so that it's not essentially the state buying all of the investment and getting none of the return. I think that's an analysis that, to do our due diligence, we should be interested in.
Through the chair, Senator Passavant, I believe the biggest difference between this bill and the tax credit system currently in place, and again, the intent was either they go down this road or they stick with the current tax credit structure that's in place. This bill, if they choose to go that way, they cannot use any of the current tax credits. Therefore, they are carrying basically the costs that are incurred to production. So if they were going down the current tax credit structure, they would be able to be reimbursed for the exploration costs, et cetera, that are currently in statute on an annual basis. This bill, they would have to carry all those costs up into the point of production and then start getting relief from those expenses against their tax liability starting after production. So it's more a matter of a cash flow carrying cost type discussion. This puts all the weight on the producer to carry those costs up until the point of production, whereas the current tax credit system allows for them to come in and get reimbursed as they go along, as they incur expenses.
I think some hypotheticals,
yes,
would be useful so that we can see over a, for example, a 10-year period, assuming a hypothetical investment, and how that would relate to both tax structures or credit structures.
Absolutely. We'll work on that.
Anything else with Department of Revenue at this time?
One last question.
Senator Pascal.
In other words, you appear to be struggling with the difference between the conventional resource play and an unconventional resource play. And would this be applicable potentially to both conventional and unconventional resource developments?
Through the chair, Senator Pascal, I believe it is. It's available to whoever wants to use it, either. And then they'll have to make the choice, the current tax credit structure in place or this, but it's up to the explorers and producers to decide.
And let's see, I'll phrase this very carefully. And right now, we're looking at existing units that are unitized, and there may be some areas in those that we could apply this bill to, and they may have some pools of oil
that haven't been economic to develop up until this time, and this might get those on a development schedule. And that might even do, might even apply towards some heavy oil production. We'll just have to see. Anything else?
Just following up, and that's where I get confused, because if heavy oil is in an existing field, or an, excuse me, in an existing unit, would this apply to the development of heavy oil if it's in an existing unit? And I understand that my belief anyway is that the heavy oil resources are in existing unitized areas.
It does not apply at this time. I think you missed what I said. It may be rewritten or amended, so it would apply to some of those areas that could be put into production.
Yeah. Okay, I got
as an incentive to get more oil in the pipeline.
I got it.
This bill isn't as much about, I didn't have this drafted and designed for a giveaway. It seems like that's where we're going to. This is designed to put more oil in the pipe. That was one of the biggest problems we were confronted with when we came down here, supposedly, is we're losing 6 to 7% of the flow in the pipe each year. This was designed to hopefully help increase or stabilize that flow of oil and maybe at least put a level line on the chart for a few years until we get Shell or somebody else in production too. Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you. The issue of gold plating, I'm wondering if you could address that. Do you see that as a concern? I know that when looking back over testimony from 2007 when we were talking about tax credits, that there was a concern going over 40% tax credit that there would be gold plating. Do you, in Department of Revenue, see that as an issue with 100% tax credit?
Through the Chair, Senator Wilkowski, I don't believe so, and I think that would be – that's because they only have 5 years after – production commences that they can recover their capital expenditures. So if they're producing a lot, they could recover it quickly. If they're not producing a lot, they still only have 5 years to recover their CapEx. So this is, again, there's a definite end to this bill after 5 years of production.
Senator Wilkowski,
what is the standard amount of time it takes for a producer to recover its capital costs in a well?
Through the Chair, Senator Wilkowski, I do not know that answer, but we'll get back to you.
You get that. That'd be helpful. Thank you.
Well, that would depend on how much the well is producing. I mean, it's all based on the curve of production.
And if we could, if I could, Mr. Chair,
sure.
We got a chart like this. On this is the time between discovery and production, Alaskan oil pools, if we could get a similar chart just showing how quickly the costs are recovered.
Let's see that, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get him a copy of that, Mary, just so he sees the bar graph. So is there anything further? Further questions? We'll be seeing each other again. Thank you very much.
With that, the meeting's adjourned.